Hello and welcome to a fantastic episode of Now Playing. I'm Arnie Storm.
Yeah, I'm Marjorie, and I didn't think it was all that fantastic.
We are going to be discussing Fantastic Four, The Rise of the Silver Surfer. And there will be some plot spoilers, so if you are really sensitive about the plot spoilers, watch the movie, then listen to our review.
Wait a second, there was a plot?
Yes, because in this movie, you've got the Fantastic Four, who are Paris Hilton-level superstars in the tabloids.
We could have gone the rest of my life without saying that name.
And they are superheroes who live in the Baxter Building in New York. They're big media icons. And Sue Storm is getting married to Reed Richards. And that's like the Royals' wedding from the 80s or any media wedding right now. Didn't Barbara Streisand marry James Brolin?
Like 10 years ago or
something.
And it
was a big media wedding.
Yeah. So, well, the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes wedding. How about that?
Okay, that's a good modern era solution. And you've got the four members of the Fantastic Four. Reed Richards, aka Mr. Fantastic, whose ability is to stretch himself like a rubber band. He gives a whole new meaning to the 70s song Rubber Band Man. You get Johnny Storm. What a great name, Johnny Storm. He is the Human Torch. He can light himself on fire and fly. You get Ben Grimm, otherwise known as The Thing, who is very, very strong and made of some kind of brown granite-ish rock. And then you have Sue Storm, who, when she gets married, will become Sue Richards, the invisible girl slash invisible woman who can turn invisible and project force fields. And they are getting married in a huge media wedding. Johnny Storm's really into the media. He's trying to get endorsements and all of that.
Well, it worked because in the first 20 minutes of the movie, we were subjected to 24 product placements and logos.
Yeah, you kept count.
Then I gave up. Seriously, it was so far in the movie, I'm like, screw it. Let's just say it's very commercial.
There were a lot of logos, but it was done in a wink-wink kind of way.
But not really wink-wink, I think.
Because it was Johnny Storm trying to get endorsements. And so, therefore, the movie had endorsements. When the plot starts, it's not like McDonald's logos are everywhere.
No, but it's just, I don't know.
But the plot of the movie is that in the midst of their personal crises, the Silver Surfer comes to Earth from outer space.
Weird things are happening, like it's snowing in Egypt, things are being destroyed, and there's these huge, huge holes in the ground where things are being sucked into and they're just being left there.
And nobody quite knows why. And so the army calls on scientific genius Reed Richards to investigate.
But wait, we're leaving out the best part of this movie.
Dr. Von Doom?
Oh, absolutely.
The Silver Surfer causes strange things to happen. And one of the strange things that happens is Dr. Doom, who was frozen solid in the last movie.
I don't know. I actually completely blocked that movie from my memory because it was so bad.
When the Silver Surfer flies over Latvia, where he is stored, where he is some part of the ruler of that country. I know in the comics he rules Latvia or Latveria, but in
when he's frozen, he rules it?
Well, in the comics, he rules it in general. Oh, okay. He wasn't a scientist. He was a monarch or a dictator. And here he was sent to his home country. Well, when the surfer flies above, he is reawakened and able to move again.
And he sheds that awful, awful outfit.
Yes, and instead we get the actor back.
Yes.
The wonderful Julian McMahon, yes, who I love in Nip Tuck.
Oh, who doesn't love him? Come on. He makes the whole movie.
He does evil so well.
He is he's really a good villain. Aside from being like super hot, he is a really good villain. He's smarmy and he's mean, but without being like evil, yelling mean. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes. He's menacing without shouting.
Yeah.
He carries a very forceful presence with him.
Yes.
Which is why he's great in Nip Tuck and why he's great here.
And he was the best dressed person in the entire movie.
Even though he bought his clothes at the Matrix store.
Well, he had that one long coat, but I mean, how he dresses in Nip Tuck, they must have the same costume designer. He had some smoking outfits.
Now, he isn't any part of the trailers of this movie. The trailers all focus on Silver Surfer. But Silver Surfer, for those of you who read the comics, is the Herald of Galactus, an intergalactic being who eats planets to survive. And the Silver Surfer finds the planets for Galactus to eat. And so the Silver Surfer coming here is basically signifying the beginning of the end of Earth. And so that's the primary plot.
He eats the core, doesn't he?
He eats
That's why the they hole. Drill the holes, is he eats the core, I thought, the way it was explained.
Okay, that may be the case in the movie. In the comics, he actually just opens his mouth and starts chomping.
No, actually in the movie, the Silver Surfer drills all those holes in different locations, and he eats the core, because it's an energy source.
Okay, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Doom, Julian McMahon, of course, being evil, wants to take the power for himself, and it's discovered the Silver Surfer has these magnificent powers. Super strong, super speed, can pass through matter, fly right through buildings, and the source of that power is the surfboard. So Dr. Doom wants the power for himself. So he is, of course, evil.
But in a good way.
Now, Galactus in this movie is portrayed as a giant black smoke.
Yeah, it looks like a big cloud that's coming in.
I don't know if it's a metaphor for pollution because it looks like smog.
Yeah.
However, I can understand why they do that. My wife does not know what Galactus looks like in the comic books. But in the comic books, Galactus... I have just shown her a picture of Galactus.
That is horrible.
He's a...
What's that crap on his head?
Well, it's a helmet. He is a purple and blue clad giant. He stands about 50 to 100 feet tall, and he's a giant person.
How would he eat Earth if he's only 50 to 100 feet tall? That would really take some munching.
Well, he breaks it apart and munches. He actually stands still for many days as he prepares the planet to eat through an elemental fashion. It's a long story.
So you put it in a blender?
But let's be honest, a guy in a purple and blue outfit with a silly hat, not very menacing.
No.
And a very square jaw.
Yeah, I don't even, that's just really bad.
I'm kind of picturing David Hasselhoff in this outfit.
Oh yeah, it's totally a Hasselhoff thing.
And it would not be menacing.
No, it'd be very comical.
So they went with the big thing of smoke. So Galactus never speaks the way he does in the comic book. It's just kind of an elemental alien thing that goes around and eats people or planets, which is much better than Purple Outfit Man, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the point of Fantastic Four, though, is to be a fun superhero movie. You've got the overly serious superhero movies. Come on, if Batman carried himself with any more self-importance, it would break him. I don't like the Batman movies because they're so self-important and so serious. They don't ever realize that the hero's a giant rubber-suited bat.
This movie is made more for fun. It is not serious. There were many parts where I laughed out loud, but I don't think I was supposed to laugh out loud.
I think you were supposed to laugh out loud. Yeah. I mean, there's a hilarious scene where Mr. Fantastic is at his bachelor party and he's dancing with a couple hot girls.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that was amusing. And he's doing a rubber dance where he's using his stretchy powers.
But I laughed at Susan Storm's impassioned speech at the end when she was dying because it was just so stupid.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Now, my complaint about this movie, the acting's not all that good.
Well, other than Julian McMahon, look what you got. Oh, Michael Chiklis, though.
Michael Chiklis is the best of the Fantastic Four.
Because he is the thing. I mean, that's just, you know, that's a good person to cast in that role, but...
I think Ian Gruffudd, or Gruffudd, or however you pronounce it...
I don't know.
...isn't a very good leader. You don't see him with leadership qualities.
I don't
even
know who the hell he is, except he's in these movies. I've never heard his name before the Fantastic Four. He's been in a lot of stuff, apparently, though.
Yeah, he's been around for quite a while.
Stuff I've not seen, probably.
A lot of TV stuff.
Okay, there we go.
But he doesn't have leadership quality. Now, imagine this for a second, if you would. Imagine if Julian McMahon, instead of playing evil, played Mr. Fantastic.
It'd be a waste.
No, because he could carry leadership, and it would be against type. And it would expand him, because he always plays evil. He's kind of evil in Nip/Tuck. He's the villain in Fantastic Four. If he played the hero, he would truly have leadership abilities.
He would, yeah.
Perhaps he carries himself too well. You would never suspect Julian McMahon to be defeated. He'd be too heroic.
Yeah, he would. He would be really good at that, I guess.
Yeah, I wish he was Mr. Fantastic, and they'd gotten a different Doctor Doom.
But he's a very good villain.
Now, I'm going to disappoint all the guys here. Jessica Alba can't act.
No, she can't.
She's pretty face.
But the blonde, not so good on her. That wig, bad.
And her superpower when she's casting force fields, it's like she's voguing from Madonna in the 90s.
Yeah, it's kind of lame.
She strikes a pose and looks a little vaguely constipated.
Yeah, she's straining.
And I just don't find her heroic. Now, the Fantastic Four is kind of hard to pull off, though. They're superpowers. You got fire guy, rock guy, stretchy guy, and invisible girl. It's hard to pull off. You have to do it tongue-in-cheek. You really do. The comics themselves are tongue-in-cheek, and so is this movie. I think that this is very true to the spirit of the comics, though, and I recommend this to any comic book fan. If you just want to have a fun time at a movie, this is a fun time. It's dumb, don't get me wrong. There's parts that are just laughably bad.
But here's something else interesting about that movie. In the middle, there's this huge statement against torture.
Yeah.
Which, granted, it's a dumb movie. It's a dumb, dumb, dumb movie. But in the middle, there's all of a sudden this huge political statement.
Well, it's not huge. It's made in passing, but it's there.
They finally catch the Silver Surfer. And, of course, what's the military do but lock him up and want to torture him to find out what the hell's going on? And it centers on that. And actually, the Fantastic Four ends up kind of being under lockdown also in this situation on the army base, like in middle of someplace cold. I'm not really sure where it was. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what would happen if they found something alien to our world.
Now, let's talk about the Silver Surfer for a moment. He looked cool, although he looked like Terminator 2.
Yeah, he did look like a Terminator. I think it's because he's silver and human shaped.
There's only so much you can do with a reflective silver human.
Mm-hmm.
But he looked cool. And when he passed through buildings, the CGI vortex effect, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
His powers, cool.
I don't think Lawrence Fishburne was the right choice to voice him.
No, Lawrence Fishburne sounded like somebody had just given him some Benadryl.
Yeah, it was very subdued and morose, and I understand the Silver Surfer, yes. He's
kind of a tragic character.
Yes, his wife or lover or whatever is being held by Galactus, and the only way Galactus is going to eat his world, and the only way he could save his lover was to be the scout for Galactus.
It's kind of a tragic thing, but he talks entirely like this. And it's not exactly exciting.
No, it was really blah.
I think that Lawrence Fishburne, obviously they wanted to get a name. Lawrence Fishburne is a name. But he was just channeling himself from the first Matrix movie. And it worked in the Matrix. It didn't work here.
No.
It's not the voice you want to have come out of the Silver Surfer.
No, I really wasn't expecting it.
I don't know
it.
What you want to come out of the Silver Surfer. I mean,
because of a tragic mistake, I had originally thought it was David Hyde Pierce. And that would have been fine, I think. But Lawrence Fishburne was a bit of a surprise for me.
Perhaps Michael Dorn, who played Worf the Klingon from Star Trek The Next Generation, a nice deep voice.
I don't know him.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, because, you know, he's not doing anything easy to get.
They got Lawrence Fishburne. He wasn't cheap.
No. I don't think James Earl Jones would be cheap. He is the most famous voice.
No, but I'm saying you could do better than Lawrence Fishburne for the money you
spent
on Lawrence
Fishburne. And nothing against Lawrence Fishburne, because...
No, I like Lawrence Fishburne. Always have.
Cowboy Curtis. That's all I gotta say.
I liked him in the movie Cadence, which nobody has seen.
No.
And, I mean, Apocalypse Now. It starts and ends there. But he was not the right choice for the voice of the Surfer.
No.
The fact that Dr. Doom turns evil, well, he is evil, but turns against everyone when the planet's about to be devoured.
That didn't make any sense.
It's a little short-sighted of him.
Yeah. He's not all that bright of a villain.
Because I rule and we're all dead.
Yeah.
And I also didn't necessarily like the fact that the movie didn't play by its own rules. At one point, it's like there are big holes appearing in the earth in the middle of isolated areas. So you think the Silver Surfer is finding areas that aren't populated, like Siberia or the desert, and drilling his holes. And then he drills one in the middle of London. It doesn't play by its own rules. The Silver Surfer gets separated from his board, and then while Dr. Doom is riding it, he can't get it back. But then as soon as Dr. Doom falls off of it, he just raises his hand and the board comes to him. And the worst part is that when you touch the Silver Surfer, your molecules get altered. Johnny Storm's molecules get altered so that whoever touches him switches powers with him. So he touches the Invisible Girl, and now she can catch fire and fly, and he can turn invisible.
But then at the end of the movie, he got everybody's powers.
Which makes me wonder, how did the powers know who to go back to?
Yeah, see, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't follow its own rules.
But here's the thing, the movie's made for probably, I'm guessing, the 6 to 11 crowd, and when you're that age, you don't question stuff like that.
But when you're an adult, you do.
Yeah. I told you this movie's made for kids.
And it's definitely appropriate for kids. But it's got some humor in it that's a little more sophisticated.
Well, it's got the humor for the kids and the superheroes for the kids. Mm-hmm. Jessica Alba for the dads. Julian McMahon for the moms. It's all good.
The chant of flame on for the gay parade.
Yeah.
Flame on? Is that really...
it's a lame tagline, and so is It's Clobberin' Time. I'm sorry. Perhaps I expect more out of my superheroes.
You know what I really thought would happen, though? Because there's that one point in the movie where Johnny Storm switches powers with the Thing, and you get to see, it's the only time in the whole movie, you get to see Michael Chiklis out of the makeup. And there's this whole thing about how he wishes he could be more human for his girlfriend. And it's also how Johnny Storm is so self-centered and he needs to learn to be more selfless. I really thought that when they go out and have beer and they think the world is ending, Johnny Storm was going to give Michael Chiklis a night as human as the world ended.
I didn't think that at all.
Oh, I did. I thought he was going to give him one night human before they all died.
I didn't think that at all.
I thought so. When they were out drinking beers and...
Never even crossed my mind.
When he's playing darts and talking about, you know, how he wishes he just had somebody he could love and have that attachment. I thought he was going to... let the Thing be human for his last night on Earth.
Yep, no, didn't see that at all.
Oh,
sorry. All right. See, you're overly sentimental and I'm not.
I am overly sentimental.
You are. Yeah, it's like we're kind of reversed roles here.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was dumb fun. I mean, it's not as good as Spider-Man 3, which isn't all that good to begin with. It's better than the first Fantastic Four movie, by far, though. It could have used more Julian McMahon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every movie could.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, that was an added bonus, because I went to see this movie, well, because I'm your wife.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. Yeah. I mean, you got to take a few for the team here and there.
Yeah.
And...
that's why I see so many Will Ferrell films.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it works out okay. Superheroes, Will Ferrell, they're coming out at the same rate. I did not know that Julian McMahon was in it.
I kept telling you he was.
But I thought he was giving the horrible Doctor Doom outfit again, which really, what's the benefit of that? You're like, oh, great, he's wearing the silver mask. Yippee, doesn't matter. But he was out of the mask for most of the movie, so that was kind of nice.
I don't know why he put the mask on at the end other than just to be more true to the comic books and wear the mask.
Yeah.
Because in the comic books, he's horribly deformed, and that's why he wears the mask.
Oh, I hope they don't make him deformed.
And in the first movie, the mask was part of his skin, and that's why he wore the mask.
Oh.
In this movie, he just puts on the mask because, ha ha, I have a mask.
He has perfectly manicured eyebrows. Did you notice that?
You should see his stylist.
His eyebrows were fantastic.
Now playing the only movie review where you will find details of people's eyebrow waxing.
Oh, he waxes and plucks. Definitely. He has someone do that for him. It was wonderful.
So I suggest if you're a fan of comic book movies, see this. And if you're not a fan of comic book movies, why would you see this? It's the second best comic book movie to come out this year. Better than Ghost Rider.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, come on. Anything's better than Ghost Rider.
Did you like it less than Spider-Man 3?
It was more amusing than Spider-Man 3, which makes it, I guess, a little bit better. Spider-Man 3, I just felt so robbed by, you know?
Yeah.
I totally felt ripped off.
I guess Spider-Man 3 I went into with high expectations, and those expectations were decimated. Yes, I was left with 1/10 of my...
Yeah.
However... Fantastic Four 2, I went in with low expectations. They were met, and I was amused. That's all I asked for from it. It amused me.
Yeah, I did find a lot to laugh at. Absolutely. So in that way, it was better than Spider-Man 3. And it was shorter, so I didn't have to endure as much.
All right, so when we come back, we will be discussing a Vince Vaughn film. Talk to you then. Now Playing is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.